Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 171, entitled How to 10X Your Life, Business, and Money, I chat with Grant Cardone. Grant Cardone is a New York Times bestselling author, international speaker, business innovator, and one of the top sales trainers in the world. In today's episode, Grant talks about how to 10X your life in all areas by being bold, authentic, and smart, and how he's been able to create nearly a $1 billion empire doing just that. He talks about the major struggles with addiction and failure early on in his life and how he was able to overcome them. Grant also dives into the utilization of his weaknesses and harnessing them into some of his greatest strengths. From cash flow to selling to real estate advice to entertaining anecdotes of F-bomb filled glory, this episode is truly amazing. If you're wondering how you can exponentially increase your life, business, and money starting today, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Hey, are you following me on social media yet? If not, quit being a complete psychopath and follow me now. Seriously, I post regularly throughout the week and love giving behind-the-scenes updates on the daily life of an elite man. I'm currently most active on Instagram and Facebook, so follow me on both. Get day-to-day updates on book recommendations, biohacking tools, elite man know-how, and all other glorious content I probably shouldn't post about but do anyways. Whether pics of me trying to conquer the world in my personal life, or whether cutting-edge research on the potential cures to all disease, keep up to date and have a few laughs by following either, or more preferably both, my social media pages now. I'm at Justin Stenstrom on both Instagram and Facebook, so it should be very easy to find me. That's JustinStenstrom on both these social media platforms. Follow me now and see exactly what I'm up to throughout the week. Get your daily dose of elite man entertainment and information Sunday through Saturday. Instagram and Facebook at Justin Stenstrom. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is the one and only Grant Cardone. Grant, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Dude, appreciate you. Appreciate what you guys do over there. I want to, you know, I've always been interested in my self-improvement. Love guys that are interested in the same thing.
I'm really interested in having this conversation. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, man. And, you know, I've read some of your books and listened to your work all the time on interviews and some of the stuff you do. You're just a really great voice and one of the true authentic voices I think I've come across.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate you saying that.
Yep. Take us back, man. I got a few kind of set up questions that I want to go through, and then I want to see where the conversation takes us. But take us back to the first 30 years or so of your life. I know it was a lot different than sort of the rock star lifestyle you have now. What was the first 30 years of your life like in terms of success and business?
Well, you know, you mean from the time I got out of school, or like the first 30 years of my life were like the first 25 was pretty much a disaster. The first 10, I mean, I grew up in a family that was a good, loving family. My dad died when I was 10. So those first 10 years were like kind of ideal. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a family, there was no problems. Mom and dad are there. I had a lot of brothers and sisters, a lot of love in me and around me. Yep. So I was a bit, protected, right?
Yeah.
And then my dad died, and man, the reality of this planet like came crushing down on me for the next 15 years. From 10 to 25 was a massive reversal of the first 10. So then, you know, what am I doing at 10? I'm getting ready to go into puberty. You know, I'm going to be 15, then I'm going to turn 18. Now I can drink, I'm smoking weed. I have no direction. I don't have any mentorship. I don't have the right men in my life guiding me. I probably should have gone into the military, but I didn't, because my mom was protecting me. And I went to college. You know, high school was terrible for me. And then I went to college. That wasn't much better. And got out of college when I was 23. Took me 5 years to get an accounting degree because I had a cocaine problem. And really, I had any drug problem. Any drug, I would I had a too much time on my hands problem, really.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm 25 years old, dude. I was broke. My family didn't like me. They didn't trust me. My sister wouldn't, like, my mom was sick once and my sister wouldn't call me to go help her because she didn't think I would even show up. Wow. I hated myself. So drugs are one thing, but the way you feel about yourself is a completely different level when you're using the way I was. And I, you know, I wasn't feeling good about myself. So 25, I went to a treatment center, and then that's when my life started turning around. So I don't really have any business success to share with you in the first 25 years. The next 5 years, I would just dig in and focus. And I'm like, okay, I got to turn this thing around, man. I got to become a person I like. I wasn't even thinking about being a man. I was like, I just got to become a person that I respect, partially respect.
Hmm. So was it literally like waking up one day and saying, I can't do this shit anymore. I have to get my life back on track. And then you do the rehab and all that stuff. And
yeah, well, it was really more like waking up for 9 years every day saying, I'm going to turn it around today, because I didn't turn it around. You know, I tried to turn it around for 9 years, 10 times a day, every day for 9 years, whatever math that is.
Wow.
Like 3,000 days times 10.
Holy shit.
Every day I'm saying, I'm going to turn it around today. You know, I wake up in the morning, today's my day. And then 10 o'clock, I've already screwed it up by 10 o'clock. Okay, I'm going to turn it around for the rest of the day. But I failed so many times, and then one day it stuck. I went to treatment when I was 25, came back. The only job I could get was selling cars. So I did that. I hated it. And I'm like, okay, I don't have a lot of choices here. I got to get good at one thing. I wasn't thinking about jets, man. And, you know, flying my own private jet. I didn't know how to spell Gulfstream. I didn't think about a condo in the air, 33 floors. People are like, you got to see it before you can have it. I'm like, I didn't see any of this stuff. I knew there was something. I knew that there was potential in me, and I knew that I could be successful. And I had already always read books about successful people, and I wanted that. But when you're that screwed up for that period of time, you're not able to think big enough. I wasn't thinking about 7 books and, you know, $800 million worth of real estate. Dude, I couldn't even think like that. I was thinking, like, if I could just not use drugs today, I'd have 3 days back to back. And then once I quit the drugs, it was like, okay, if I could sell a car today and another one tomorrow, that would be 2 in a row. And then the next thing you know, I'd sell 3 in one day. And I'm like, dang, man, I might be able to like this. You know, and then I got consistent with that game. And then I'm like, okay, what else is there for me, right? Because my big fear has always been boredom. If I'm bored, I'm going to get in trouble.
So did you take that obsessive, addictive behavior, sort of tendency, did you take that and just dive into something else, like the selling? Was that like your main thing, that every day when you woke up after age 25 or so, that's what you focused on and got really, really good at it?
Yeah, it was just what was in front of me, right? If I would have been in the insurance business, I would have thrown myself into insurance. If I would have been into coding, I would have thrown myself into coding. It didn't, like, it was just what was in front of me. And by the way, I think everybody can be a drug addict, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't think it's a disease. Like, I'm an experienced drug addict, so I can say this. The disease thing, there is no validation for the disease thing. It's just it's an idea and a concept, a theory that people have a disease, but there's no genetic test that says I can have it and you can't, right? But I think anybody can become a drug addict. I didn't start using drugs thinking I'm going to become one. And the next thing you know, I'm using them every day. That qualifies you, you know, when you're doing it and you don't want to, that's the definition, right? So I took that energy, that ability to be obsessed, by the way, which is what addiction is, you know, to throw yourself completely into something, even despite your own personal health. And by the way, if you could do that in something that is good for you, oh my God, you're going to be lethal. And that's what I did, dude. Rather than getting away from the concept of obsessive compulsive addiction, I'm like, hey, why don't I just use it?
Yeah. So what did you do then from the next, like, say, 10 years to being this good salesman that you became and, you know, just selling cars, which is pretty cool, but it's not it's not the rock star lifestyle you have now. What did you do in the next decade or so to make that switch?
When I was 29, I lost my job, and I was kind of fired and kind of quit one of those deals. And I used that opportunity to go out and said, you know, I'm not going to be just a car salesman here. I'm going to go out and change the automobile industry. And because I hated selling cars so much, and so many other people hated it, the salesman and the consumer hated it. I'm like, there's something wrong with the way this is done. People need cars. People love their cars. People like, you know, people fantasize about their automobile, right? And so I said, why do so many people hate it? It was because of the way it was done. Don't tell anybody anything. Don't give a price. Trick people, all the trickery and manipulation and how long it took. So I went out and basically changed the way automobiles were sold in America.
No shit.
And so, again, I threw myself into it. I was working 300-day years, literally no vacations, no weekends. I was traveling 250 days a year. I was in front of audiences. I was doing 8 and 10 presentations every day. I've done, I don't know, 30,000 presentations or something, some crazy thing, right? And again, I threw myself into this thing and changed an industry that didn't want to be changed.
Is it just from sheer hard work and hustle?
No, it's more than hustle and it's more than hard work, right? It's because I hear everybody talking about the hustle and the grind.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to just work hard. I wanted to work hard so I could get paid. I don't go to work to work. I go to work to prosper. I've been doing that since I was 25. Like when I got out of that treatment center, I'm like, okay, I got to get good at something so I can make money. And when I was 15 years old, I couldn't help my mom. Part might have been part of the reason why I moved to drugs. I couldn't help my mom. My mom was scared about money. And I told her one day, I said, one day I'm going to be successful and take care of you. And so I was going to work to pile money up. And a lot of people don't talk about this. They're like, oh, find out what you love. I had a guy tell my daughter that this weekend. You gotta do what you love. I'm like, dude, you gotta do what pays you.
Yeah.
So, you know, the elite man needs some money. Because if you don't have money, if you love what you do and you're broke, you will hate your job. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, so that's a good point. I've heard you say that in other interviews as well, is making that money the true focal point of your goal, especially, you know, for some of the younger guys, say age 25, 30 years old, coming up, even 20-year-olds. Those guys typically, I mean, it's good to have this great, well-rounded life, but I hear you make it work with having money being that focal point and going after that, and then everything else falls into place once that happens, right?
Totally, man. Totally. I see guys. I see this young dude right now popping in on that. He's jumping on lease jets. I'm like, dude, quit showing off, man. You guys got to quit showing off. You need to put your bank together. The only thing that you need to show off is how much, what your net worth is, not what you're flying. You know, we live in a world today that is so made up. It's so much bullshit. You know, everybody's like, my Instagram is who I am. No, dude, your net worth is who you are. And I know some people are going to have a hard time hearing this because you're broke. You don't like hearing this because you hadn't confronted the money thing yet. But at the end of the day, if you go on Shark Tank and you got a great ass idea and you got a beautiful product and you look good and you got fancy shoes and a big dude, they're going to ask you the big question. And the question is going to be, what are your sales? And then they're going to ask you this. If you can say you got a lot of sales, then they're going to ask you, what percentage of that do you keep? And if you say, I don't have any sales and we don't keep anything, they're going to be like, next. That's the real world, dude. And this is what nobody tells anybody from the colleges, the schools. Like, nobody's telling anybody, hey, bro, if your idea doesn't turn into money, something's wrong with you or something's wrong with the idea.
What was your first biggest success in business? What was the one thing you did that really changed it for you and helped you develop this crazy, fucking ridiculously cool lifestyle you have now?
Well, probably I had the first business. That thing was going good. I was making a couple $1 million a year doing that deal. That was my consulting to car dealers. I was going around selling them an idea, really. Okay, and that idea paid me. Every time they bought, every time they said, okay, we're in, it would pay me. That's how I funded the other businesses. I basically got car dealers to fund my other businesses. Then I wanted to get out of that. I didn't want to keep doing that. So I got a partner. My second business was a partner who was just going to run automotive. And so he loved the automotive space. He loved those guys. And I'm like, I got to talk to more people than just car dealers, right? So he took on the partnership where we went in and babysat the car dealer. And that allowed me to use the money from the first business. I funded a little bit of the second business, and then I started buying real estate because I really didn't feel like a businessman. The first business I was making millions of dollars. And I say that with some humility, even though it might not sound like that, mm-hmm. but I didn't feel like a businessman because I was just speaking. It was an idea. It was a concept. You know, I was selling an idea and they were buying it and they were paying for it. And so I was more of a speaker and a presenter than a businessman. It was just me. I was a one-man show. Then I started the partnership. The partnership, the guy that was the partner in the second business, he had more employees than I did, dude, in 1 year.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, he's a businessman. I'm just a pitch man. And so I didn't feel like a businessman, right? So the third business was the real estate. I started buying real estate, but it was so small. I bought 38 units and I bought 48 units. I was making more money in the real estate at this point than in the first two businesses, but it still didn't feel like I was a businessman. I've never actually told this story. So I was more of an investor. So now I'd gone from speaker. Now I had a partnership and now I was investing in real estate, but I still didn't feel like a businessman. It's really only been in the last like 5 or 6 or 7 years. We have 85 employees here. We probably need 160. I got 150 employees in the real estate now. We have $800 million worth of real estate. I'm starting just now to feel like, okay, dude, you're a real businessman now. And I don't know if that answers your question, but it's been, again, it goes back to like, okay, it's hard work and it's hustle, but not just hard work and hustle for nothing. It's hard work, hustle, so I get money so I can invest in a business, grow a business, you know, get the three businesses rolling so there's puking money so I can go to two more businesses. It's not like I've been keeping this money. I didn't have a fancy car till I was 45 years old, didn't fly private until I was 56, 57. My first ride in a private plane was the plane I bought. Wow. So I've never been showing off, even though people think I'm a show off. You know, I'm cocky. And you know, I'm gonna walk in the room and I got my chest, I'm a Banny Rooster kind of walking guy, but I've never been a show off with stuff. Cause I've been trying to bank money so that I could literally have enough financial wherewithal not to be worried.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so is that something you'd recommend too, is people building up one business or one source of income and also focusing on the next one, taking that money where you can get that in to then invest in more businesses at the same time?
Yeah, well, I would first of all, never rely on one source of anything. So never leave the first source that makes you. Like I've never left the first thing that I've done.
Which is selling, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm still doing the first thing that I've done. Every day I do it. It doesn't matter whether it's $15 or $15 million. I'll work on deals today that are $100 million. Today on a Monday, I'll work on deals that are $150 and I'll work on a deal that's $100 million. So I'm still selling and pushing and shoving. We're good. And then, but what I would tell people is, look, don't do the show off thing right now. It's popular to have a freaking Lamborghini and fly net jets and all the bullshit. Dude, you want bank. Get money. Get your money right. Use that money. By the way, don't do what your mom and daddy said with money. Don't send it to a Keo. Don't put it in the bank. Use the money to build a fountain of businesses, right, that overfloweth. So I got a Rolls Royce right now. Rolls Royce gave me a car. I'm not I'm so frugal, it's unbelievable. I bought a jet, right? I bought a jet because it can get me to money and it can expand my business and it gets me to connections. It's, you don't buy a $50 million jet to show off. You buy it to do business. So I would tell people, look, man, you want 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 200 flows of income. If you want to leave a legacy. See, my game's a legacy game, right? I want my kids are going to be billionaires, dude. Like, that's crazy when you come up and you didn't come up with a, you know, 1400 square foot house and 7 kids. I might not be a billionaire, but my kids for sure will be billionaires. That's the kind of wealth, legacy wealth, where I could continue to donate to my church 100 years after I'm dead. People could continue to read my books and learn my material hundreds of years after I'm gone. That's what like really freaks, like really gets me excited today. So that's going from a guy that was addicted to a drug all day long or just didn't have anything to do. Yeah. Because, dude, really, the problem was I didn't have anything to do.
Yeah. No, I love that, man. That really is a recurring theme on this show, too, is having a purpose in life, whether that's the purpose of making money or the purpose of fucking helping other people out or making a change.
Yeah.
Once you find that, your life literally changes.
Yeah. And the whole thing about people are lazy, there's no such thing as lazy people, man. People are sick.
Yeah.
But they're not lazy. Okay, because I'm doing something, even if it's watching TV all day long. If I'm watching TV or I'm playing some video game or I got this golf app that I literally in 5 minutes, I was like, shit, I could play this game all day long, right? Well, that if you have that kind of focus on anything, even though other people look at it and say, dude, that's a waste of time. Man, if you have that kind of energy, you don't have ADD or ADHD or you're bipolar. I'm sure there's probably some very rare situations where people have that stuff. But if you're destined to be a successful person, I guarantee you have more than one window open. You know, if you look at my computer's got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 browsers open right now.
Wow.
Okay. If a computer can do that, my mind probably has 50 or 100 or millions of little browsers open right now where I can have a conversation with you and still be, I don't have a disease, man. I don't have a problem. I got gifts. Everybody has these gifts, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before too, is that other people have told you that you have ADD or you've heard that throughout your life. But that's really interesting. You don't think you have ADD or, I mean, I wouldn't say you do, but you've taken whatever it is you have mentally, whatever. I mean, we all have our little unique, you know, neuroplasticity going on in our brain, but you've taken that and used it into a strength, like that energy, the sheer like spontaneity of things and the energy, the raw energy you have. I think that translates into so many different things. Can you speak about that for a minute? That using it as a strength?
Yeah, look, man, I've been labeled ADD, ADHD, bipolar, manic depressant. I'm not the one with the problem. Okay, the people that were labeling me had a problem with me. They want me to be them, right? Now today, people are like, dude, you just said, I don't think you have ADD. Nobody thinks I got a problem now. Fuck, everybody thinks I'm a fucking superstar. Or they don't like me. One of the two. It's like people either hate my guts or they're like, dude, I totally dig the dude. He just says it like it is. He's unapologetic. I'm authentic. Like me or don't like me. Look, you know, the money thing. Like nobody's talking about money. Me and Gary Vaynerchuk had this conversation. And Gary's like, oh, people are better off working for themselves for 40 grand a year than working for somebody else for 40. I'm like, dude, that's stupid. Nobody's better off working for 40 grand. Why would you tell somebody that, dude? Like, I didn't have a dad that had a business. You can't live on 40 grand in New York or Miami or Los Angeles or freaking anywhere for that fact. So why would you tell somebody it's better off, okay? And by the way, most people should not work for themselves. Most people should work for someone else. Most billionaires, 2/3 of all billionaires work for somebody else, not for themselves. So I would just tell people, like, do you have problems? Yeah, everybody's got problems. But if you could just convert the problems and the conflict, right? Like stress. I convert stress. I convert conflict, right? I convert adversaries to energy. I don't resist people not liking me. I don't try to change your mind either. I use the energy of it. And so the same thing with that addictive, I don't want to focus. Like maybe I don't want to focus because shit, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, you'd rather focus on something more important.
But my kids are going through school right now. I can tell they're bored, man. They don't have ADD, man. The 10 million kids were put on freaking drugs last year out of schools because they supposedly can't focus. Why would anybody want to focus on some of the lessons we're taught?
Yeah.
Something have to be wrong with you to want to listen to the bullshit. Why do I want to learn a history that may have nothing to do with my future, like, or geography that might not even exist today? Like, we're teaching kids courses, advanced grammar. I learned advanced grammar. What the fuck do I need that for? Or trigonometry, man. I got an accounting degree. I got a good degree in business, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not an accountant, right? I'm not gonna be an accountant. I'm gonna hire accountants. So, like, you leave accounting, you still don't know how to cash flow a business. I spent 5 years getting a degree in accounting and not one course was on how to cash flow a business, which, by the way, cash flow is probably the holy grail of all accounting and all business success.
Can you speak? I want to go back to that in a second. But can you just speak to your genuine, authentic voice that you have? I mean, did you always have it? Or, I mean, look at guys like, for instance, Donald Trump, who you mentioned this a minute ago, and it kind of reminded me of him.
He's
very, very outspoken, very loud, very authentic in terms of saying things off the cuff and in that regard. And then you also said something interesting. You said, like, half the people love you, half the people hate you. The same thing applies to him.
Yeah.
And you know, again, half the country love him, so that's what, 150 million people love him. The other half hates him, and he doesn't give a shit either way because he's, you know, he's become president, he gets all this press, whatever, fame, and it ended up working for him. And it's, it definitely has worked for you.
Yeah.
How did you develop that?
Well, I think, first of all, the thing that me and Donald Trump have in common is that we're both real estate guys.
Yeah.
And it's interesting about real estate. Real estate's a very simple business. And the most, you know, the real estate guys I meet are, you know, they're cash flow people. They value cash flow. And I just say that because, you know, Trump, what people don't understand about Trump is he was in the Bronx. Him and his dad were collecting rent. Here's a white guy collecting rents from blacks in Brooklyn and the Bronx back in the 60s, man. Mm. Knock, knock, your rent's due and you're late. So, you know, he doesn't have a big vocabulary. The guy seems a bit kind of like, he's just, I'm not defending him right now because most of the time he sounds like an idiot. but I don't think he's trying to impress people with big words like most politicians do. Mm-hmm. And I see that with a lot of public speakers. I see guys on stage that they're great speakers, but dude, there is no business. Mm. Like, you know, I know guys that are out, they're doing 250 gigs a year in front of audiences talking about business, but they don't run a business.
Wow.
So you got guys that are operating on Instagram like they're superstars. You would think that these people are loaded rich. There is no money. There's no machine. There's no business. There's no employees. It's a freaking facade. So have I always talked like this? I mean, I've always had a big mouth, you know? I've always had an opinion. You know, probably a little bit like this, but like now I'm not getting in trouble anymore, right? I'm you know, I've figured my way out somehow. And I I still don't do it right. My wife, when we go places, I know she's sitting on needles most of the time because she's like, he's going to say something that offends someone. But with me, here it is. Most of the time, half the time, you're not going to like what I say, but at least with me, you know all the time where you're at. If I don't like something, you can see it. If I do like something, you can see it. It's black or white with me. There's nothing. There's no gray in between. If I'm wrong, I'm going to tell somebody I'm wrong. And I don't think I got it all figured out. Dude, I'm just trying to figure it out, right? So
I think people love that about you. I know I do, the raw, authentic nature of you. Do you think other people, other business people especially, should adopt that mindset? Or is that just reserved for, you know, some people like you? Some people have it, some people don't.
I think that what happens is it's a shame that when people hit particularly financial success and maybe some celebrity success where you're getting eyeballs, mm-hmm. that most people draw the curtain and go into hiding because the attention gets to be a bit brutal, right?
Mm, yeah.
You know, the idea that half the people would love you and half the people would hate you. Most people don't want to deal with the people that make ugly comments. So what they do is they pull the curtain. Now, when you talk about money, people getting rich, did you know Rolls Royce's number one problem is that it's not that people can't buy the car, right? It's that people feel like it's all right to drive the car in their neighborhood because they're going to get looked at funny. And so, you know, it's a shame that in this country that if you get wealthy and you tell anybody that you're wealthy, you're frowned upon. If you tell them you're poor, they feel sorry for you. So, and I think that that's part of the Trump effect. You know, he's a bit of a show off. He's got the big buildings. He says he's a billionaire. And then so many of these billionaires go into hiding. You can't get access to, you can't find out what they did. You don't see them driving the fancy cars, right? They go into hiding. You only see them with their people. So it's a bit of a shame because if I come out and I'm like, look, I just want to be with everybody. You know, I want to hang with everybody. I want to be the same guy that I grew up being, but I don't want to be broke anymore. Which means, by the way, you know, I'd like to hang out with you, Justin, but if you're broke, dude, I'm not going to pick up the check every time.
Yeah.
So rich people don't want to rich people want friends to hang out with. And rich people, see, even me saying this rich thing, I guarantee you when me and you go back and listen to this, it's going to sound terrible.
Yeah,
you can't even say it like this, right? Anytime you use these words, it's like, is he really using the rich word? Rich people want to go on trips. I want to go on a 1 month trip right now, maybe 3 months. How many people can I call up? Can I say, hey, Justin, you want to go hang out in the Mediterranean for 3 months?
Yeah.
See, so it's a bit of a, if I go on that trip, by the way, I can't take any photos. I can't show anybody that because they're going to be like, oh, look at Cardone. He's a show off. See what I'm saying? It's a real rub. It's the rub. It's like, I can't be who I am anymore now because I'm successful. And that shouldn't be what it is. People should be congratulating people that have accumulated the kind of wealth I have. It takes a tremendous amount of discipline.
Packed with 28 powerful nutrients, our Elite Life Nutrition's Men's Multivitamin is the perfect daily supplement to guarantee you're at your best every single day. As men, we have to do a million things, and oftentimes we overlook eating 100% optimally. But that's just the beginning. From work to sleep to gym to home life and more, oftentimes the stress can add up and start to take a toll on our bodies and our health. When it does, we see a significant drop-off in energy, mood, stamina, strength, immune function, and yes, even performance in the bedroom. That's why it's so critical to ensure we're covering all the bases in terms of essential vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. And that's why you should really consider taking a powerful and effective and completely safe multivitamin supplement like our brand new men's multivitamin. Not only do we give you the critical amounts of vitamins and minerals, including powerful antioxidants like vitamins A, C, E, and selenium, and all of the B-complex vitamins, including niacin, B12, and folate, and extremely important minerals like magnesium, calcium, chromium, and zinc, but we also add in a men's vegetable and fruit blend to top off this nutritional boon. And all the forms of these nutrients are the best that money can buy. We leave no stone unturned. We give you the most absorbable and effective form forms of these vitamins and minerals. Unlike so many other supplement companies out there that just go for the cheap synthetic stuff, our daily multivitamin comes with the perfect potencies from the ideal sources to make sure you actually reap the benefits of what you're taking in from a multivitamin supplement. After all, as a man, you deserve to be at your best. Go to elitelifenutrition.com/multi, that's M-U-L-T-I, to order our men's multivitamin supplement right now. Again, that's elitelifenutrition.com/multi. I guarantee you're going to love this daily multivitamin.
Yeah, it's almost like you can't lose either way, so it's just like, you know, fuck it. You're just going to do whatever you want to do anyways because people hate you. I love you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Grant, what's your best advice in terms of real estate investing? I mean, you're basically the king of this, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you that question. What is your best advice in regards to real estate investing, like just general advice? I know it's probably the best place to put your money into in terms of insurance.
Yeah, single best thing that people 25 and 30 years old, 40 and 45 years old, and 60 years old, you young guys, man, you know, how old are you, Justin?
27.
Yeah, dude, you should be playing this game right now, bro.
Yeah, it's something I want to actually get into really soon.
Okay. Now, I'm not talking about buying a house, and I'm not talking about buying land. Don't. Nobody listening to this should buy a house. Your mommy and daddy's idea of real estate is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about buying properties that people rent, and I'm not talking about two or four units. You know, your first deal should be 30 to 40 units. And so if you got to save, I'd prefer you to go like 60 or 80 units. And this story is not going to end. This is a 30-year ramp. It's going to last for a long time. It's going to outlive most of the technology that people are dealing with today. You know, today I started with, my first deal was one unit. It was a mistake. My second deal was 38 units. My third deal was 48 units. And then it was 90 units. And now it's like, I just closed almost 800 units this month. We have 4,500 units, about $800 million worth of real estate. I'll hit $1 billion probably this year, maybe early next year in real estate holdings. They pay me every month. I get cash flow positive. Every month I get a check, bro. It's like, I mean, this is as close to passive income, money that you make in your sleep, as you can get.
What do you mean exactly when you say units? Like one unit? What's that exactly?
A unit, an apartment unit. I'm buying apartments. So we buy 300, 400 unit, 500 unit apartment complexes.
Oh wow! And I know that's one of the big things around real estate is like once you buy it and then you rent it out, do you have to keep up with the maintenance? Is it a lot of headache in terms of that?
Well, you do unless you're going to buy bigger properties. That's why I tell people don't do the twos and fours and eights because it's just another job.
Yep.
We created a fund this year, my third fund actually. We've done three funds where people can invest with me. So your first deal, I got a guy that works with me. His name's Jared. Another guy named Ryan. These guys are 29, 33 years old. Their first real estate deals were with me. So they went from never owning real estate to owning a piece of 300 units. They'll both be multimillionaires. They work with me every day. They'll become multimillionaires investing in the real estate in my funds with me. So you don't have to do it yourself. You need to find somebody that's buying the big deals though, so that you don't have to get a phone call. Hey, my toilet's backed up, man. You wouldn't want to do that in the middle of this interview.
So it's basically like investing in a business with somebody. Somebody else has a stake in it and then you add on to that.
Yeah, exactly. But the business has income the first month, unlike most businesses.
Yep.
Number two, the business cannot be destroyed by some app. Mm-hmm. You can't Uber the apartment thing away.
True.
People have to live someplace.
Yeah. So what are you looking for when you actually invest in some of these? Is there something like a criteria you follow?
Yeah, I'm looking for great properties in great locations. Like we just closed 240 units. It was a $50 million deal in Orlando. It's got $1 million swimming pool. The within 5 miles, the homes are $400,000. That's my competition. Really, is, you know, you're sitting there thinking, should I rent from Grant or should I buy my own house? Well, the payments are about the same. So you would think that somebody would go buy the house, right?
Yeah.
The difference is you can move out of my joint in 10 months and it doesn't cost you anything. The other one's going to cost you 30 years. I have $1 million swimming pool. You don't. I got a 1,500 square foot gym. You don't even have to go to 24 hour fitness anymore. So the amenities on the property are so appealing that more and more people, both millennials and even baby boomers, retiring people, are like, dude, I just want to go live at Grant's place. There's barbecue pits. They clean up after me. I can come and go as I please. There's security. They pick up my packages. Buying a house is a burden. It's not a dream. Yeah. And it's not an asset.
Everybody thinks it's an asset, too. I mean, so you recommend, I mean, do you have your own houses? Of course you do, right?
I basically rent my house from myself.
Really?
So it's a little complicated, but there's no reason. Until you're super rich, there's no reason for anybody to own a home.
Wow. Yeah, it's very contrary to what you normally hear, too.
Bro, those houses were built for banks. They weren't built for people. It wouldn't be the first time the American people were fucked, okay? College education. Who's benefited the most from that?
Colleges.
No, the banks.
Oh, okay.
$1.3 trillion in debts, and second to colleges that have these massive funds. Harvard's got billions of dollars sitting in funds. Dude, you got people leaving Harvard, can't get a job.
Yeah.
So two people benefited, right? Oh, you got to have a college education. You got to have the higher education. The banks lent $1.3 trillion doing that bullshit. Houses. There's trillions and trillions of dollars, okay, called a bond market, was created because of the housing market. Houses were created for banks, not people. Same thing with the retirement accounts. The retirement accounts were created for the banks and Wall Street. They weren't created for people. Hey, make money and give it away every month, and you don't get your money back until you're 63.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, but everybody believes that's the way to do it.
It's crazy, man. Putting it all together, I guess, what is like your best, what's your best advice for someone listening to the show who might be broke right now, might not have the greatest job? What do you tell them to get them on track to getting their first $1 million? And then from that point, of course, building up an empire. What is the best thing to dive into right now, even if you don't have much money?
Well, the first thing I would do is I'd follow a guy like me that's talking about money. And that's not talking about, you know, the old ideas about money. There's very few people covering the topics you and I just covered. So if you listen to Dave Ramsey, he's going to say, don't use debt and save your money. It's ridiculous, dude. Like, why would you want to save money now? I would tell somebody that's broke today, look, learn how to make money. Learn how to collect more money. Learn how to multiply money, right? Get great at the job you hate. You don't like sales? Get great at it, okay? If the job that you're doing right now doesn't pay, find a job that does pay and get great at it. And I don't care if you like it or not. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. Everybody's like, oh, do what you love. It's bullshit, dude. Do what pays you money today so that you can do what you love in the future.
I think you and Gary Vee would agree on that topic of hustling and saving up that money, working your ass off.
No, totally. Me and Gary agree on a lot of things.
Yeah.
The hustle, work hard, work, don't waste your money, you know. You know, I'm not investing in Twitter. I'm not buying stocks. I'm not buying pieces of paper, crossing my fingers, hoping they work. You know, I'm buying stuff that I know I can do right now. I'm not buying the New York Jets. Dude, I'm gonna buy apartment buildings so I could trade them for almost anything I wanted in the future. So those are real things that people can do today. Where me and Gary different is Gary's like, don't monetize. The guy you're talking about needs to monetize fucking tonight. You do not have the alternative to not monetize. And this is a conversation me and him have. I'm like, dude, you can't tell people that, bro. They don't have daddies with a business like you did. I didn't have a daddy. I'm 25 years old and I'm broke. My rent's $275 a month. This is 30 years ago. I have to monetize today. So you guys that are out there, you're on Instagram and you're not monetizing, get off of Instagram and go monetize today. Get a product, get a service, wash people's windshields, do something that will monetize your lifestyle today. And then keep that lifestyle below. Don't live above your lifestyle, right? You should get rich and people won't even know it.
Yeah.
And then use that to get super rich and then everybody can know it. Because at some point, you're not going to be able to hide it. Anybody can do it, dude. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it.
I love it, man. So what's the main principle of the 10X rule? It sounds like kind of a lot of what we've been hitting on to the last few minutes, but what is the main takeaway when you wrote that book, the 10X rule? What is the biggest thing you wanted people to take away?
The biggest mistake I've made in my life, I've underestimated what I could do. So everybody's like, dream big, man, dream big. But you know what the problem is? No matter how big you dream, you're trapped by your surroundings. So the 10X rule basically says, look, whatever you think you want, multiply times 10. Okay, whatever your target or goal is, just let's assume that you just can't think big enough yet. You know, so, and by the way, whatever you think it's going to take to make something work, multiply times 10. Most people cannot imagine how much they can do successfully, and most people cannot afford to manage how hard it's going to be. So the 10X rule basically says, look, you're going to misestimate, if that's a word, incorrectly estimate the amount of effort, and you're going to incorrectly estimate just how much success you can actually achieve. I've done both of those. Today I have achieved 1,000 times more than I ever dreamed I could. I never, ever. Like, with all the humility in me, I cannot tell people. Every day I wake up and I'm like, dude, I cannot believe. I can't even figure out how I did it. I cannot believe I've done everything that I thought that I've done. And by the way, if I'd have known that this was possible, man, I would have thought so much bigger. And so the 10X rule basically says, look, until you do it, you're not going to understand this, but trust me, you know, you need to think way bigger on both sides, the effort side and on the possibility side.
Yeah, I love that, man. Taking massive action, having massive goals.
Yeah.
And just, you know, getting as close to that as possible. What do you mean also when you say sell or be sold? Is it that everybody's trying to sell you something and that you're trying to sell other people things?
No, kind of, but not really. It's like, okay, you're either doing the selling or you got sold that it can't be done. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, you go to dinner and the steak's $45 and you're like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. All right. Sell or be sold. Mm-hmm. If it's a lot of money, if $45 is a lot of money, guess what? You're going to have trouble getting $45 from anybody. OK, it's not really about the steak. If I'm like, oh, my God, Cardone's got a course and it's $1,000. That's a lot of money. Well, guess what? If you believe that's a lot of money, you're going to have trouble getting $1,000, selling $1,000, collecting $1,000. So that's why we have to be very careful about our upbringings influencing our future, because if you're brought up to be frugal, and again, I've talked here about being frugal, don't be frugal, but also be frugal. You know, I'm talking about not being a show off. You know, you want to use money to grow, not use money on consumption items. So sell or be sold is, you know, do I deserve to use this money for myself because I worked so hard this week, or should I use this money to expand my business so that one day maybe I don't have to work so hard?
What's your single best tip on selling and having successful sales? I mean, you're one of the best salesmen in the world, I think, if not the best. What is your biggest tip for anyone listening to sell a product, to sell the service, to sell themselves, and actually make money?
My tip is there's only one guy on the whole planet you should follow about sales. And I'm on the call with you. So I know more about selling than any human being on the planet. And this is not, there's other guys that know about selling, but they corrupt it. They throw in all these little tricks And I'm a guy that, like, you don't have to learn tricks with me. You don't have to try to manipulate people. You don't have to do tonality and matching and mirroring and garbage. Because if I'm doing all that stuff, then I'm not me anymore. And the moment I try to match Justin, I lose a little bit of me. And the moment somebody tries to become me, they lose a little bit of them. And the biggest thing anybody can do is selling is be yourself. Be yourself. But you got to learn techniques that make it okay for you to be yourself while you're doing it, and it gets the job done, okay? Just because somebody said you're an introvert or you're shy, doesn't mean it, when you're selling, that you can afford to be an introvert. If you're gonna do an interview like this, you cannot be an introvert. You have to extrovert in the interview. Otherwise, it's gonna be a fucked up interview. So, I would just tell people, look, two things you can trust about me. I'll teach you how to sell and I'll teach you how to make money. And the third thing I'll do is I'll teach you how to multiply money. Whether you like me or not, I mean, who gives a shit?
So I think it goes back to that authentic nature again, too. Like, that translates into everything, really, when you can be as authentic as possible. But especially in sales, right? When you're genuine, people gravitate toward you, and they I think they trust you, and they want to be sold by someone like that they trust, right?
Yeah, but a guy like me, the downside with an authentic mouth is that you have to learn how to use it so that it doesn't offend people, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in a position now where it's like, all right, well, you know, I'm not going to offend anybody on the Elite Man magazine, you know? I mean, it's Elite Man, dude. I mean, if you don't like me, you're a pussy. Right. So, but let's say I go to a country club or event or a political event. Well, then I can be me, but I might need to consider my audience. That doesn't mean I'm losing me. It means I'm communicating to other people in a way that they can have it. So I have to do some modification when I'm in with anybody. And the last thing I would just tell you is, like, anybody that doesn't like sales is going to struggle in life. You're going to struggle. You need to wrap your head around, why don't you like it? You know, what is it you don't like? Well, I don't like the pushy salesman. No, we're talking about what you don't like. We're not talking about somebody doing it to you, right? So, you know, I don't like people not waiting on me. I don't like customer service. I don't like people not smiling. I don't like people giving me what I want. I don't like people helping me. You know, I don't like those things either, right? So that's really, when I'm talking about selling, I'm talking about servicing people, taking care of them, humility, calling them back even if they didn't buy from me, treating them like they bought from me when they didn't, treating them like millionaires when they treated me like a mooch. You know, taking care of somebody even when they got a coupon in their hand, you know, treating somebody really, really well, like they're at the Ritz Hotel, even though they want Holiday Inn pricing, and even though they're shopping and they're not going to do anything today. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about selling. I'm talking about being in business, customer service, being treating somebody that paid you nothing as nicely as you would to somebody that gave you $10 million.
Nice, man. I love it. Grant, it's been an awesome interview, man. I really do appreciate your time.
You're the man. Love your audience, too.
Real quick, is there a last takeaway message you'd like to leave our audience, and then a place that our listeners can check out more about you?
Yeah, well, if you're on iTunes, just put in Cardone Zone. I do 7 shows a week there on iTunes. Cardone Zone is the place. If everybody would subscribe and review that, I'd really love that, because we're like top 10 right now. Otherwise, man, wherever you are, Grant, if you just plug in Grant Cardone, you'll find me. And the takeaway tip is, you know, before you start learning something new, get rid of stuff that you already know. Because what you know is actually holding you back now. You know, most people don't need new data. They need to get rid of the data they have.
Nice.
And the last thing I would tell you is this. You need to follow one or two people and no more. No more than one or two people. People are following too many people. People are looking at too many people for advice right now. It's confusing people.
Yeah, I think the one or two people is you and I, Grant, the guys listening to the show.
That's it. Me and you, bro. Me and you.
All right, brother. Thanks again for coming on. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. Be great.
Hey, I know we mention it in the intro of every episode, but sometimes people forget or overlook it. So I'd like to remind you really quickly, if you can take 30 seconds to leave us a review here on iTunes or even Stitcher if you're listening on Stitcher, that would be phenomenal. It helps us out a ton and helps other elite men like you discover the show. So do me a huge favor and show some love. Also, quick reminder, for this and all Elite Man podcast episodes, all of the links to our show, whether it be our guests' websites, courses, or books, or any other resources mentioned by myself or a sponsor, are always contained in the show notes on iTunes, Stitcher, or right on the EliteManMagazine.com website. It's the easiest way to find something if you're interested in checking it out further. Not always, but sometimes these links are affiliate links, so just assume that if you choose to get anything, you're probably helping the show out by doing so. But that's it for now. Keep kicking ass and taking names.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.